For decades, Elizabeth Elliot has influenced many people through her books, timeless teaching, and courageous faith. She shares with us what she's learned as a daughter, wife, mother, and missionary on this radio program, Gateway to Joy. Let's join Elizabeth now as she encourages us once again to live life to its fullest as disciples of Jesus Christ.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, and I'm going to be talking to you very informally during this week. I'm very aware of the fact that the material that I've been giving you over the past few weeks has been pretty heavy stuff. And some of you may feel, oh, I don't think I can take any more of that. I just have to start putting some of it into practice and thinking over it. She gives me too much. I've got spiritual indigestion. And so that, by way of introduction, for those of you who may be tuning in for the first time today, and you may think, goodness, what a fluff brain Elizabeth Elliot must be if this is all the kind of stuff she gives. But I've got so many good friends out there, people who introduce themselves to me at meetings and places where our paths cross, and they tell me that they listen to me every day. And so many of you have said, I sit down in my kitchen with a cup of coffee and Elizabeth Elliot every day. And I just, that really touches me, and I do want to say thank you for that. I'm glad that you feel as though I'm sitting across the table with you. And it would be lovely if I could do that with each one of you. But I thought, these good friends, these faithful listeners who earnestly take notes sometimes and listen with both ears and pray for me and put the things that I say into practice, maybe you'd just like to hear a little bit about what a day in the life of Elizabeth Elliot Gren and her husband Lars is like on Strawberry Cove in Magnolia. We live in this little tiny lobster town called Magnolia in Massachusetts, and our street is just a little cul-de-sac called Strawberry Cove. I do want to say hello especially to those 46 people that came with Melanie Smith to Victoria. I just couldn't get over that. Melanie Smith is a woman who made 50 phone calls when she heard I was going to be speaking in Victoria, BC, and out of those 50 phone calls, she managed to get 46 people to come with her. Thanks, too, to you people in Baltimore and Tidewater, Virginia, and Lancaster. Those are places from which I get a lot of mail, and I thank you. I want to tell you how Gateway to Joy started, just very briefly. It was because of a young woman named Jan Anderson. Her name was Jan Anderson back then, and Jan had followed me around and read my books and introduced herself to me at Urbana, Illinois, one time, and then she wrote me letters. And she ended up going to Ecuador, working with radio station HCJB in Quito for a couple of years. Then she worked on the borders of Texas, doing Spanish programs, also under the auspices of HCJB. But when she came one time to a conference in Georgia, she just made up her mind at the end of that that she was going to make sure that this woman who had been the speaker in that conference, Elizabeth Elliot, was going to go on the radio. And although other people had from time to time suggested such a thing, nobody had ever actually done anything about it. And so Jan Anderson went out on a limb, walked into the offices of Back to the Bible broadcast in Lincoln, Nebraska, and suggested to them that they might do a women's program. And they said, well, they were interested in a women's program, but everything would depend on who the speaker was. And when she mentioned my name, they decided that they would be interested in exploring that possibility. And so the program began. Jan was my producer and announcer and director and everything else for a while, but that became an impossibility. But she's not still Jan Anderson. She's Jan Wismer, and she married Lauren Wismer a year ago. And so we continue with Gateway to Joy. The references to the scriptures that I start with, you are loved with an everlasting love, that's from Jeremiah 31:3. And underneath are the everlasting arms, is from Deuteronomy 33:27. So I just thought I'd give you a little glimpse of what a day is like. And I have literally put down what was happening on the day that I prepared this program. This morning, for example, my husband Lars was in Florida. I got up, weighed myself, as I always do, drank my 3 glasses of water, had my quiet time, read prayer letters from my friend Mardell Brown in Texas and my friend Kathy Whitt in Cambridge, England, and prayed for them. My reading this morning, and when I say this morning, of course, I'm speaking of the day on which I prepared the program, was in the book of Ruth. And one verse in there jumped out at me. It was one of my mother's favorite verses, one that she often quoted to me, and one that I often need. It says, "Sit still, my daughter, until thou see how the matter will fall." And I particularly needed that word, sit still, this morning, because I was perplexed about a certain person that I felt as though I needed to talk to. It was a difficult subject, and I didn't know when or how or whether I should talk to her. And this, I felt, was God's answer. Sit still until thou see how the matter will fall. And then I also read Psalm 74, in which the psalmist says, "Why and how long? But you, O God, it was you." And I liked that sequence. The ordinary human question, why? Another human question, how long? And then, but you, O God, it was you. Well, I got dressed. I listened to the news while I get dressed. And then I made my bed, emptied the trash, carried the laundry basket downstairs, talked to Jung. Jung is a Korean student who lives in our house. He's a seminary student. Ate my breakfast, read some of the poem by Longfellow, Evangeline, copied notes on the fear of the Lord into 3x5 files. Then Lars called, then told me that I had to make sure to call the church and let them know that he was not going to be there for a certain coffee time when he had signed up to wash the dishes, and he wasn't going to be able to make it then. I prepared last Friday's Gateway to Joy program. I wrote out a schedule, wrote a blurb for my friend Linda McGinn's Resource Guide for Women's Ministries, and that's a book that I strongly want to recommend to you, published by Brodmann Press. Linda McGinn, M-C-G-I-N-N. The book is Resource Guide for Women's Ministries, an excellent handbook. And she wanted me to read the book and possibly write a blurb, which I did. Then the mail came, so that took a chunk of time to read and to answer. Then one of the most delightful things that I ever do is to eat a solitary lunch in my study. When it's cold downstairs, I carry my lunch to my study, and I sit there with my sandwich and my tea, and I read. So, of course, I was reading Evangeline again. Then it's time for my 2-mile walk, which includes going to the post office and the bank and the convenience store to Xerox some things. More dictation, and I thought I'd just give you a little sampler from the mail. What kind of mail did I get today? Well, a letter from Val. It was her first try on their new word processor. Somebody had given them a gift that was designated for their home education. She's homeschooling 4 of her 6 children. And so they were thrilled to be able to buy a word processor. And this was her first try on that. She told me that for Sunday dinner, they had had 6 guests. She served chicken Brasilia, which I haven't any idea about, tabbouleh, which I love, stir-fried bok choy. Sounds like a pretty exotic meal, doesn't it? Rice, hollandaise sauce, and rye bread. And her son, Walter, who is 13, pronounced it an awesome meal. Dessert, she said, was cheesecake. Then I had a letter from a woman who had had a hysterectomy, the final assurance that she would never have any children, a huge disappointment. And then she learned that the family is to go to a foreign country instead of to a state. And I want to read a part of her letter. "In spite of hard times, and even because of them, there have been periods when I have felt that God has poured out precious jewels all around me, as he has given me assurances of his love, presence, ability to change my heart's attitudes, and intervention in the circumstances I'm in. I keep picturing myself as the little mother bird sitting quietly on her nest, which is built into the old bare branches of a tree, sitting firmly in the cleft of a rock on a small island, surrounded by a rough river. When the wind kicks in, a few drops of water come into her nest, but she's not worried because her nest is firmly secured in a tree that has held her for years. Even as the painting is called Peace, I imagine myself as firmly placed in Christ, and that in spite of rather turbulent circumstances at times, I too can experience peace and calm. I hope my life will be one of consistency, and that others will be motivated to follow the Lord closer because of me.
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.